Upton Bell has been around the NFL his entire life, including while his father, Burt Bell, was NFL commissioner back in the 1940s and 1950s. Upton himself worked for the Baltimore Colts and was general manager of the New England Patriots. He's on the line with us now to talk playoffs.
So, Upton, what are you seeing in the playoffs now going into the divisional round?
Even though I was suspect on wild card super, as the NFL calls it, super wild card weekend, every game except one turned out to be really exciting. And all of the different skilled players there and the different teams, even the ones that got eliminated, they were all good games except the second half of the 49ers-Seattle game. But this coming weekend, and it shows you how the NFL has changed, in that we don't talk about defense a lot, except maybe if you're talking about the 49ers. What we're talking about is great quarterbacks, great receivers, and teams that throw the ball, well, no matter what the score is. Let's start with the first game, which is Kansas City and Jacksonville. You've got two great quarterbacks, one coming up in Trevor Lawrence, and, of course, the other one who's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Jacksonville, I don't think, is capable of being Kansas City, but back to Burt Bell's whole thing on any given Sunday, in this case, on any given Saturday. But when you look at all the tools that Kansas City has, and you look at Lawrence, and he has some of the tools, you think it's going to be all Kansas City. I think in that game, I don't know what the point spread is now, but I would favor Kansas City by at least 6 points. But I think you're going to see an aerial show, which is what the public wants. So in that game, you will see decent defense by Jacksonville. But I think Kansas City's offense is just too much for them at this time. And, of course, the one particular defensive player that the Chiefs have is Chris Jones, who can really overwhelm an offense. So in that case, I do like Kansas City. But there's, again, so many stars in that game. And you're seeing two quarterbacks, and that's what you're going to see this weekend. The second game is a little bit different, in that you've got Philadelphia and the Giants. Now, Daniel Jones has been abused, amused, and everything else like that, but they pulled a big upset over the Vikings, and now they come in against Philadelphia, who should be playing, if they win this game, they will be playing, I assume, against San Francisco. But you don't know in this game, because Jalen Hurts has been hurt, and nobody really knows how good he really is, or how he could be in this game. And that's the big if factor. The best coaching job in the NFL this year has been by Brian Daboll. He's taken a team that very few people would pick any of their players, maybe a couple, to be any good at anything. But yet Daniel Jones has shown himself to be a lot better quarterback than we thought, including myself.
And Barkley has certainly resurfaced. You know, he missed a couple of years because of injury, and I think it was easy to kind of write him off, but all of a sudden he's putting together some really good games.
Well, he was big in the game against the Vikings, and both he and Jones, but you're right, the question has always been about him, was the injury factor. But if he can remain healthy, even into next year, they're going to be pretty good. And they do have, I mean, the coaching job that Daboll has done with that team is as good as anything I've ever seen in one season. Because believe me, they truly have a talent deficit. But I think that they will be in the game. And this is the other thing, Michael, more so than any other sport, coaching in football is an absolute must. And you saw what happened with the coaching situation last Saturday night, when it was 27-0, San Diego. I still call them San Diego. I insist on that.
The Chargers.
The Chargers. And they blow that? I mean, I don't care how good Trevor Lawrence is, but coaching was a factor there. And coaching in college, and particularly pro football, does make a difference, particularly if you don't have a really good football team, and that's the case of the Giants. So I like the Eagles, but not by much if Hurts isn't right. So that's the second game. Now, the game of the weekend, and it's too bad it's the first game, instead of putting America's team and the 49ers, who I think the 49ers, by the way, have more talent than any of the teams in the playoffs. Total talent.
Well, but, especially at the skill positions. I mean, they have really...
But that's all that counts, Michael, anymore. If you have a quarterback and you have great receivers and you have a decent offensive line, you can do it. Because today's NFL is all played outside, not played inside. You got the people outside and you got a guy that can throw it, you're going to be. And that's why you see, except for the Giants, every quarterback in there is as good as you're going to get. But the first game, to me, is the game of the weekend with more at stake than anything, and that is Buffalo and the Bengals. Buffalo with a guy that I think is the closest thing to Superman I've ever seen. He makes a lot of mistakes. Could have blown that game last weekend against Miami. But Allen is just on another planet. He can flick a ball 60 yards. Just flick it. And it's just amazing. Burrow is right there with him. Not the runner that he is. But here's the question I have. I'm going to favor Buffalo, but only slightly. And I wouldn't even be surprised if they lose. But the biggest problem for Burrow is... And he's the guy. He's got Chase. He's got all of these great players. He's got the players on the outside. Is three of his offensive linemen might not be there. I mean, I think they only have two offensive linemen left. And let's face it, even though the game's played outside, if you can't protect the quarterback, you're dead. If the Bengals' offensive line was intact, and there's still a question about the left tackle, I would pick them to beat Buffalo. But because they're not intact, and you saw what happened last year, even though Cincinnati made it to the Super Bowl, that basically he's lucky that he's walking after the Super Bowl loss to the Rams, the beating he took, and some of the beatings he took early on against Tennessee. So again, that game is going to hang on. Is there enough production out of that offensive line to protect Burrow? Then I'm going to pick Cincinnati in an upset. But I don't think that'll happen. I think Buffalo will prevail.
You know, one of my question marks with the Bills, and you saw this at the end of the Dolphins game, I thought, is their lack of a running game when they need it? And their clock management. Now, you are very familiar, having seen Johnny Unitas for so long. And he was one of the best clock managers at the end of games of anybody. Do you see that as a potential fault with Buffalo?
I do. But by the way, a trend that I'm seeing throughout the league, and we saw in the playoffs that I don't like at all, is all the clock management. Miami could have won that game, and you know, the excuses were made. We weren't more aware of the situation. I mean, they literally wasted their chance to win that game, or at least tie it at the end, because the coach was confused. He's the play caller, and they don't get the play on time. How many times have you seen in the playoffs, and this has been the big problem of the Patriots too, where they don't get the play in time, they have to call a timeout, they're all out of their timeouts because they wasted them, they don't get the play in, the guy is confused. I was screaming at the set, Miami, you can win this game. Just get somebody on the field, call the play.
Yeah, exactly. It blows my mind. I can't remember so many timeouts wasted. And I'm starting to wonder, like, is it worth the 5 yards, you know, early in the second half? is calling timeout worth that 5 yards when you're going to be in a situation like that?
I have said this since Garfield was shot. It is the most ridiculous thing, particularly early on, to take the timeout for the 5 yards. You're going to need it.
Coming up, more analysis with former Colts and Patriots executive Upton Bell on The Game Before the Money. Visit thegamebeforethemoney.com and check out the Game Before the Money podcast. Back with Upton Bell discussing the NFL playoffs and the sharp increase of timeouts used to avoid delay of game penalties in the past few years. A lot of teams not getting the play called in time, not getting set up in time. So here's former Colts and Patriots executive Upton Bell speaking more about that.
They don't get the play in on time, or the quarterback doesn't get it off in time. And I'm saying, this is a virus that's just come in the last couple of years. This never happened. Now, the other thing is this. The immortal offensive coordinator, who everybody is looking for, when you didn't have an offensive coordinator, and I know times have changed, so I'm with the change, but when you didn't have an offensive coordinator, was it Unitas or any of them, nobody was calling their plays because they were so well prepared by their coaches that they called the game. Now, if a play needed to be sent in, that's fine. I mean, even Paul Brown, he sent the plays in, and I know Otto Graham didn't like it, but you never saw that happen. Eubank and Unitas planned the game plan. I never saw Unitas call a timeout. Never. At the end of the game, at any time in the game, because he didn't know the play or didn't know what he was going to call next. What are you paying a quarterback $200 or $300 million for some schmo to send in a play? That's what they're getting paid for. So now you pay the guy and he becomes a robot. You don't think a Tom Brady can't call his own plays?
It's ludicrous to think about sometimes that people are calling plays for Brady, Aaron Rodgers, some of these guys who have been around the league sometimes longer than their head coaches or their offensive coordinators, you know, with this influx of young coaches.
You lose the feel of the game, too. You know, you're just taking on now. You have to execute the pass. You have to make the call at the line. You have to recognize the defense. There's a lot of complexity to it. I understand all of that. But on the other hand, if you've grown into it, you can do it. Now, if your offensive coordinator wants to send a play in from time to time, that's fine. But you're on the field. You have the feel of the game. But they've created these alleged geniuses, these play callers, and I am all for today's game. I like the open offenses. I like all of that, and I like the creativity. But again, there's something unreal to me that somebody has a microphone in their ear, offensively and defensively, where they're just Ronnie Robot. Back to that game is that Joe Burrow, unlike Allen, I think Allen still needs people calling things in because he's got this incredible otherworldly talent and he can concentrate on that. Joe Burrow to me is a guy that was born like a Unitas or any of the really gifted people that if he had to, he could call his own plays. And he has all of the weapons. So, again, in that game, that's the one I would tell your audience, Michael, to watch. If they watch nothing else this weekend, two great quarterbacks, great line of receivers on both sides, wide open game, and in the case of Allen, to me, barring injury, if he wanted to, they talk about Lamar Jackson. Allen could average near 100 yards a game just running the football. Imagine you're a defensive back and you're trying to essentially bring down at full speed a 250-pound man at 6'6". And by the way, the only defensive coach in all of the playoffs, and it shows you how things have changed, is Sean McDermott of Buffalo. All the other ones are offensive minds.
That's a great point. Now, Upton, you mentioned earlier, you said that you assume that the Eagles-Giants winner is going to be playing the 49ers. So are you more sold then on Kyle Shanahan as a coach? Are you not sold on the Cowboys after their victory against Tampa Bay? What's your thoughts there?
The Cowboys are everybody's bad dream. They are America's team, and I always wondered why. San Francisco has the most talent of all the teams in the playoffs, AFC and NFC. Shanahan, who I do not like, has installed an offense that is perfect for them and has almost at every position somebody who is really good. I mean, they've drafted well. Their trade for the running back, their whole situation, wide receivers, they've got that. They've got, a wide receiver that can also be a running back. I mean, they have everything that you want. And Kittle is going to go to the Hall of Fame. Samuels, if he can remain healthy, is already one of the best. They are the most complete team. And he's installed an offense that the Patriots tried with Mac Jones, and it showed how disastrous it could be if you don't really install it years before. So they've all played in his offense, complex as it might be or seem to be, and it enables a quarterback that nobody ever heard of because he was taken in the last pick in the draft, Purdy. If it was any other offense, then Purdy, without the talent, Purdy wouldn't exist. I think he's okay. I think in that offense, he'd be fine. If he was playing for another team, he'd still be on the bench. That's how good they are.
Yeah, they've been great this year, and it's pretty incredible because they are on their third quarterback.
Yeah, they are. And in the case of Dallas, I like Dak Prescott, but I'm not in love with him. Now, Dallas does have a really good defense, but I have questions about their offense, and they have questions about, they beat a defenseless Tampa Bay team, and they made it look fairly easy. But I think it's a lot different against the 49ers. Unfortunately, they have to play them next. But I don't think Dallas is a complete team. Listen, I'd love to see Prescott finally get over the hump. I mean, they think they got over the hump playing Tampa. But Tampa, again, was a toothless team. And here's the other reason why I would favor the 49ers anyway. San Francisco has been resting since Saturday. Dallas played Monday. And for the biggest game they're going to play all year, maybe in years, they have 5 days rest. That is not enough. I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody says. As a Colt player told me years ago, when I asked him, how long does it take to recover from a Sunday game? He said, usually by Saturday. The body, especially the tension of it, fighting for the playoff, body can't take it. So we'll see what effect that has. But it will have some effect. And the other thing is, preparation. You've got to prepare for the most complex offense you'll face, even though to San Francisco it's not complex. But you've got to face an offense that has all the tools where the quarterback, can just turn it on, turn on the machine and it runs by itself. That's a tall order. So I like the 49ers in this, and I like them by at least a touchdown.
All right. Thanks to Upton Bell there for that great insight. And, you know, the 49ers have had a couple extra days of rest, more than the Dallas Cowboys. And this is after a 17-game season. Everybody is beat up right now. But the 49ers have had a couple more days to recover, plus a couple of more days to prepare. So that's a difference. We'll see how much of a difference it makes in that game. Now, the Cowboys and 49ers have had a great playoff history against each other. A lot of very memorable games. I've covered that in blog posts on the GameBeforeTheMoney.com and on the Game Before the Money podcast. There have been some great stories shared about those games. You'll want to check out the website and the podcast. There are a lot of interviews with great NFL legends. Just posting one about Chuck Foreman. You may have heard part of that interview a couple weeks ago on the show. And the full interview is about to be posted on the podcast. Interviews with Dan Fouts, Tom Flores, Dick Vermeil, guys in the AFL like Lionel Taylor. I'm Jackson Michael. This is the Game Before the Money. Visit thegamebeforethemoney.com. Also, check out the Game Before the Money podcast coming up.